Turn your living room into a joyful, hands-free playroom with Cocomelon Sing and Play with JJ. Your child sings, moves, and learns right alongside JJ and friends, all on the big screen. It's designed thoughtfully to spark speech, rhythm, and coordination through songs and active play. Try an ad-free, safe, and interactive way to make screen time part of their learning and growth. Parents love how easy it is, voice-controlled and frustration-free. Kids love every moment of singing, laughing, and playing along. It's fun for them, and it's feel-good for you. Available now in the Volley app on your smart TV. Just search Volley in your TV's app store and start your free trial of Cocomelon Sing and Play with JJ today. That's Cocomelon Sing and Play with JJ. Available now in the Volley app on your smart TV. Search Volley and start your free trial today.
Volley.
Welcome back to Fostering Faith, friends. I am Tracy. I will be your host today for Fostering Faith, and we are all in new seasons in this household. Gia has officially started high school, and she has officially fell in love with high school. She was very anxious and nervous about starting, but then she realized how many people that she knew and how she was able to find friends in all her classes. She was able to make her travel volleyball team. She was able to make the school volleyball team, and so we are all going to be starting off in new seasons. I get to start school again next week, and so I have been studying and reading already to get ahead of the game, as you know, I feel like this program is going to be challenging, and I want every opportunity just to soak in and not just kind of run over the material, but just to really read it and soak in. And we've had an opportunity to use this computer program called Logos. And if you guys don't have it, if you've never heard of it, look it up. I've been playing with it now for almost 2 weeks. And there's just so much that is packed into this program. There's probably a free version. We get a version with our school, which is just loads and loads and loads of books in here. I've wrote like 6 sermons in this program. I mean, it's so good. I'm so excited to get back to school and learn and to do a deep dive and just be surrounded with people to challenge me and to grow me and just, you know, just walk with me in this faith. And so as I foster my own faith, going back to school for my master's in theology and Bible study, I'm super excited to dive into this with you. And so as we get into this episode, we're going to call it Chasing Joy in a Storm. And so welcome back to Fostering Faith. I'm so glad that you're here today, because in this episode is for every single one of us who has ever said, "Lord, I can't handle the storm. I am not 10 toes down. I am not Moses. Like, I'm not your girl. I'm not your man." Now, I'm not talking about thunderstorms, you know, rolling across Midwest right now. I'm talking about storms in your mind, in your heart, and in your soul. Anxiety that keeps you up at night, fear that paralyzes you, stress that makes you feel like you're drowning. But I want you to know something right up front. Joy is not canceled by storms. Happiness runs away real fast when life gets hard. But joy is anchored in Jesus, and it doesn't move just because the wind blows. And so today's episode, we're going to be calling it Chasing Joy in the Storm. But spoiler alert, the whole point is you don't chase joy, you receive it. And so in this episode, I want you to think about anybody that's suffering with anxiety or feeling overwhelmed, and send them this episode. Send it and then just listen to it with them and then go over it and talk through the points. And it's about building community. It's about having a tribe. And so if you guys are liking this episodes, make sure that you comment, leave us a rating. Let's grow a community together. And so let's dive in. And so let's start with one of my favorite verses. When life feels overwhelming, we have Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxious. Look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and surely I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Now please pause. Doesn't that sound too good? Almost too good? Like, if we're being honest, because we're in the middle of a panic attack, and if you've been losing sleep at night, your first thought is not going to be, "Oh yeah, I feel God strengthening me." No, we're like, "Where are you, Lord? Because I'm not okay." But that's why this verse is so powerful. Notice that God doesn't start with, "Here's how I'll fix all your problems." He starts with, "Do not fear, for I am with you." Bible scholars point out that God's answer to fear isn't a plan. It's his presence. One commentator even said, "The antidote to fear is not courage, but company." But isn't that good? It's not about mustering up your inner strength. It's about realizing who you're walking beside. And Matthew Henry, in his old school way, said it like this: "When God is with us, we need not fear the most powerful of enemies." In other words, the storm may rage, but the storm doesn't get the last word if God is holding you up with his righteous right hand. Now, let's be real. Fear makes us forget things, doesn't it? When panic hits, your brain goes into survival mode. Your heart races, your palms sweat, and your mind goes, I'm alone, no one understands me, no one can help me, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Like, all these negative thoughts just race in. But God interprets that lie with his truth. Do not be anxious. Look around you, for I am your God. So think about that image. Anxiously looking about. So if you can't, like if you're panicked, like if you're a mom, I mean, if you're like lost your kid, or they're hiding underneath a clothing rack, because I have no idea why kids do that. And it's like this anxiety of looking about. Can't you picture it? It's like being lost in a crowd. Just like you're looking for your kid. You're looking for your kid. Your head is swiveling around, searching for just their voice, their hair, their t-shirt. But then you finally lock eyes with your kid. And he knows you. And that moment feels a flood of relief. And that's what God offers you in panic. Let me put it in everyday terms. Imagine you're in the airport, you're late for a flight, you've panicked, you're scanning signs, and you're running in the wrong direction, and you hear a voice call your name. You turn, and there's your best friend, waving you over, pointing you this way. That's what Isaiah 41:10 is describing. God saying, stop spinning. I'm right here. I'll lead you. I'll strengthen you, and I'll hold you up. And here's the part that blows me away. He doesn't just say, I'll strengthen you. He repeats himself, I will help you, and I will uphold you. Bible teachers often say that when God repeats something, it's because we need reminding. It's his way of saying, hey, you can count on this. And let's be real for a second. How often do we try to hold ourselves up? We white knuckle it. We see all the memes of like the disarrayed hair. I seen one the other day, and it was this woman carrying up a washer off the subway, up the stairs. And I like messaged my friend, and I was just like, I thought I was gonna have to send this to you, because it's like this crazy lady carrying a washer up the stairs and saying, you know what, I'll just do it myself. And so we white knuckle it. We say things like, I'll just have to push through. I just need to be stronger for my kids, for my spouse, for my job. And God says, actually, you don't. I'm the one holding you up. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know about you, but that takes a weight off of my shoulders. One scholar pointed out that the phrase righteous right hand doesn't mean strength. It means faithful strength. God's right hand never slips. It's not shaky. It's not uncertain. It's perfectly just, perfectly steady, and perfectly good, which means his grip on you is more secure than your grip on him. So if you're listening right now and you feel like you're barely holding on, I've got good news. You don't have to hold on perfectly. God's righteous right hand is already holding you. Let me ask you, what would it feel like if you, instead of trying to run out of panic, you've paused and reminded yourself, wait, God's here. He's got me. He's not letting me fall. That's joy in the middle of your panic. Not because the storm's gone, but because your Savior stayed. And so let's keep flipping to Philippians 4:6-7, because my biblical boyfriend, Paul, he writes, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your mind in Jesus Christ. Okay, so let's be real. Do not be anxious about anything. Paul's my guy, but that feels impossible. Like, I can't even get through Monday morning without real anxiety creeping in. I mean, what about the bills? What about the doctor's report? What about the interview? What about these kids going back to school and wanting and needing new clothes? And we have lunch bills, and we have this. The kid that just will not listen. Don't be anxious about anything. Paul apparently was never married, never had a mortgage, and didn't have no kids. But here's the thing. Paul isn't saying, hey, stop it. Just don't be anxious. That would be the worst advice ever. Have you ever had someone tell you in the middle of a panic, just calm down? Well, that doesn't work. Spoiler alert. It doesn't work. What Paul is doing here is pointing us to exchange. He's saying, yes, you feel anxiety, but here's where you do with it. You hand it over to God in prayer. And one Bible scholar points out it like this. Prayer isn't just a conversation. It's a transaction. We bring our God to our worries. He gives us his peace. We unload the weight, and his hands give us rest in return. And so let's look at the language. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That means all of it. Not just the big scary things, but the everyday stuff too. The stress about what to wear, the worry about whether you said the wrong thing in a text message, even the small details that you think are too silly to bring to God, He says everything. We have had this conversation in this house so many times about, did you take that to God? Did you take that to God? And even just in my conversations throughout the day, I mean, did you take that to God? No, I'm not going to bother Him with that. It says everything. There is nothing too small and there is nothing too big. And so now I would love what Warner points out, where he says, the way to be anxious about nothing is to be prayerful about everything. Isn't that good? Prayer becomes an antidote to anxiety. It's not about ignoring your feelings. It's about inviting God into them. And then Paul says, peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds. The word guard is a military term. It paints a picture of a soldier standing at the gate of the city. Anxiety tries to storm in, but God's peace is literally standing there saying, nope, not today. And so let me ask you, have you ever prayed and then felt calmer, even though nothing changed about your situation? That's the verse. That's the peace of God. It doesn't always change the circumstances, but prayer changes you. Tim Mackey from the Bible Project explains it like this. Peace, or shalom, isn't just absence of conflict. It's wholeness. It's everything in its right place. When God's peace guards your heart, He's putting your chaos back in order. Even in the storms around you, you're still raging. So here's the part I love the most. This peace, the surpassing understanding, which means sometimes you can't explain why you're okay. You just are. You should be falling apart. You should be panicking. And yet you're steady because God's peace is holding you. It's not logic. It's the Holy Spirit. Let me paint this for you. Imagine your life is a castle. Anxiety is invading army, pounding at the gates. Let me in, let me in. Normally, you just let it in and suddenly your mind is filled with panic. But whenever you pray, God's peace literally stations soldiers at the gates of your heart. They're standing guard. And so when anxiety comes screaming, let me in, peace answers the door and says, sorry, this place is protected. And I can say that sometimes prayer itself is the hardest part, right? Because whenever you're anxious, you don't even have the words. You don't even have to feel eloquent. You don't even have to feel spiritual. You just feel heavy. And there's this thing, God isn't grading your vocabulary, and thank God for that. He's listening to your heart. And sometimes the most powerful prayer is help. Lord, help me. And let me ask you this. When was the last time you actually gave your anxiety to God instead of carrying it yourself? I'm not asking whenever you last talked about your anxiety. I'm asking whenever did you lay it down, open hands, and say, God, I can't carry this. It's yours now. I think a lot of us pray like we're holding the weight and we say, God, please take this from me. But we never let it go. We walk out the prayer and carry the same baggage that we walked in with. But true prayers, the Lord says, the Lord, I'm done. This is yours. And so here's a challenge. The next time that your chest feels tight, your thoughts are racing and you're spiraling, stop. Just stop. Put your hands out like you're holding something heavy and then slowly release it as you pray. It's a physical act that says, Lord, I'm not carrying this anymore. I lay it down. Because here's the truth. Joy is found whenever you finally stop wrestling with your thoughts and let God guard them instead. And so let's talk about Elijah. If there's ever a prophet who had a front seat row to the power of God, it was him. And you have 1 Kings 18. You have Elijah on Mount Carmel standing against 450 prophets of Baal. And it's the epic showdown. His prayers, fire literally falls from heaven. God proves himself in a jaw-dropping, dramatic way. And I mean, it would be on all of the newsreels. It would be all over Instagram. It would be all over the things. I mean, if you and I were thinking Elijah is untouchable, this guy...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to TalkSpace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at TalkSpace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at TalkSpace.com.
Has all of the faith in the world. But then you have chapter 19. And suddenly Elijah is running for his life, terrified of Jezebel, and collapses under a broom tree. So he's discouraged that literally asked God to take his life. Talk about a crash out. Talk about he's ready to crash. He just crashed. He just crashed out. And can we just pause there for a second? Because this isn't that kind of like real life? One day you feel like you're on top of the world, spiritually strong, full of faith and quoting scripture and like all the things, and God, send me where you want to go. And the very next day, you're burnt out. Like, I'm not your girl. I'm not 10 toes down. Like, pick somebody else. I'm Moses. Like, go get Aaron. You feel overwhelmed and you're wondering if you can even keep going on. Bible commentators note that Elijah's despair doesn't make him weak. It makes him human. Even the strongest believers hit walls. Even prophets who call down fire get tired, discouraged, and feel hopeless. Now notice what God does next. He doesn't rebuke him. He doesn't say, are you serious? After everything I just did, you're going to doubt me now? No. God sends an angel. And what does the angel bring? Food, water, and rest. Sometimes the most spiritual things you can do is take a nap and eat a sandwich, hopefully without bread. Can I get an amen? I mean, get you some salami and cheese, wrap it up, and call it a day. And we have Warren Wiersbe that makes this point. God knows our frame. He remembers that we were dust. In other words, God knows that we're fragile. He doesn't treat us like we're superheroes. He treats us like children who need him. And I love this. Elijah sleeps, eats, drinks, and then sleeps again. The angel doesn't even rush him. It's like God is saying, I know you're at the end of yourself, so let's start with basics. Let me put this into our world now. Maybe your despair isn't fixed by another Bible study or another motivational podcast. Maybe you want and need a first time to rest, to hydrate, to let God remind you you're human. Because here's the truth. Sometimes despair isn't lack of faith. It's lack of margin. You've been running so hard, carrying so much that your body and soul finally crashes. And God, in his kindness, says, rest, child. I'm still here. And I'll be here whenever you get up. Isn't that like whenever you were sick and you like laid in your mom and dad's lap and you like whenever you woke up, like you felt you slept for 10 years and they were still there. I remember times whenever Dia was like little or just even maybe mid teenager, and she's, you know, just 14 now. But I mean, she was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that you're still here. Maybe I am not going to leave you. I am a busy person and I love to be on the move. But if you need me, I am here. And just think of that, because your heavenly Father loves you more. And then maybe you came from an environment where you didn't have parents to sit down. You didn't have that luxury of them and of parents that were loving. But know that you have a heavenly Father that says, child, rest. I am here. And I'll be here whenever you get up. And so let me ask you, have you ever felt guilty for being tired? Like you should be stronger, more spiritual, more put together. And Elijah shows us that even God's prophets hit burnout. And God's response wasn't guilt. It was grace. And here's the part that gets me. After Elijah is strengthened, God speaks to him again, not in the wind, not in the earthquake, and not in the fire, but in a gentle whisper. Isn't that beautiful? That sometimes that whenever we're in despair, we're looking for God in dramatic ways and like earthquakes and fire and a burning bush, but he comes in close and quiet. And one commentary puts it this way, God does not always manifest himself in extraordinary ways, but often in the simple, the ordinary, and the gentle. That means joy doesn't come with fireworks. Sometimes it comes like a whisper in the dark that says, I'm still here. Let me say this like a different way. So picture a mom who's going nonstop, which we just talked about, packing lunches, doing laundry, working full time. And she finally sits down on the couch, literally spent, and her little one crawls in her lap, rests her head on her shoulders and says, I love you. In that moment, nothing on her to-do list changed, but joy showed up. Or think about someone who's grieving. The loss is heavy, the house feels empty, but a friend stops by with a meal, sits quietly on the couch, and just listens. No big speeches, no fireworks, just presence. That's God's whisper. So here's the takeaway. Joy in despair doesn't always look like God removing the storm. Sometimes it looks like God spending and sending you to rest, reminding you to eat and whisper, I've got you. So if you're in despair right now, please hear this. God is not disappointed in you. He knows that you are human. You are not perfect. This is not a shock to him. And his provisions will meet you in ways that you might overlook through sleep, through a meal, through a friend's encouragement, and through his word softly reminding you, do not fear, for I am with you. And so as we are getting close to the end, I do want you to encourage to rate and review and share this podcast with people that you feel need rest, that are in the middle of a storm, that does not know where joy is. And so let's jump into Matthew 11:28-30. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take upon my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in our souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now let's stop, because that doesn't just look like, you know, so great, does it? Because it doesn't just sound like water to a dry throat. It's, I will give you rest. I don't know about you, but I feel like those words hit different in today's world. We live in a culture that glorifies busy, hustle harder, grind longer, sleep when you're dead, right? Even compete over who's the most exhausted. I only slept for 4 hours last night. Oh, I only slept for three. Oh, I've not slept in 24 hours. But Jesus comes in and flips the whole culture upside down. He doesn't say, come to me and I'll give you a longer to-do list. He doesn't say, come to me and I'll give you more hustle. He says, I'll give you rest. Now, here's the kicker. He's not talking about taking a nap. He's talking about a weekend getaway. He's not talking about a weekend getaway with Netflix binging or whatever. Those might give you distraction, but not rest. Jesus is talking about soul rest, a deep healing, inner renewal that nothing in the world can duplicate. Bible scholars point out that the word rest here is an act of rest. It's not laziness or avoidance. It's renewal. It's the kind of rest that restores you whenever you're walking. And there was a quote by Warner Worpsey that says, true rest is not the absence of activity, but the presence of God in our activities. In other words, Jesus isn't inviting you to run away from life. He's inviting you to walk with him in life at his pace, under his strength. And we've done some episodes and I've done some videos about pace and, you know, fast wives and slow husbands. It's about walking with him. He's saying, take my hand. And now look at the invitation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I know yoke isn't a word that we use today. A yoke was a wooden harness placed over two animals, usually oxen, so they could plow the field together. So here's the thing. A yoke always has one stronger ox that carried most of the weight, and the weaker one walked alongside him and kept step. Do you see the picture Jesus is painting? He's saying, walk with me. I'll carry the weight. You stay close. You don't have to force this field alone. Like, you're not doing this alone. I'm here with you. I love this because it doesn't just say, take my yoke. He says, learn from me. This means rest isn't about collapsing. It's about it's about discipleship. It's about letting Jesus teach you a new rhythm, a new way of living that's not crushing, not suffocating, but life-giving. And then he describes himself gentle and humble in heart. Can we pause right there? Because for some of us, it's not the picture of God we grew up with. Some of us grew up with a God that was harsh, demanding, impossible to please. But Jesus says, no, that's not who I am. I am gentle. I am humble. My heart towards you is kind. And one commentator pointed out that this is one place in the Gospels where Jesus describes his own heart. Isn't that wild? Out of all the things that he could have said, he says, I am gentle and humble. That's the heart that offers you rest. And notice the promise that you'll find rest for your souls. And not maybe, not if you earn, not if you get it together. He says, you will. And let me make this real. Think about the times that you've chased rest in counterfeit ways. Maybe it's scrolling through social media for an hour. You don't feel rested after. You feel more drained. Maybe it's retail therapy. You buy the things and for 5 minutes you're happy. Then the package arrives and now you've got more clutter and less money. Maybe it's numbing with food or binging a show or even throwing yourself into work to avoid dealing with your feelings. And yet, none of it touches your soul. Jesus says, come to me, not go to that thing, not escape to that distraction. Come to me and I will give you what none of those can. And can I just get real practical here? Coming to Jesus doesn't always mean packing up your life and moving to a monastery. Sometimes it's as simple as pausing in the car before work and saying, Lord, I can't do this day without you. Be my strength. Sometimes choosing to listen to worship music instead of news. Sometimes it's reading a single verse and carrying it in your pocket all day. Those little moments come from him and add up to real rest. And so let me ask you, what would your life look like if you actually lived at Jesus's pace instead of the world's? Instead of running 100 miles an hour, trying to prove yourself, you walked with him, trusting he's carrying the heavier end of the yoke. How would your life look? I'll tell you what it looked like. It would look like joy. Joy isn't shaken by storms. Joy that doesn't come from everything being perfect, but from walking with the one who is perfect. And here's the thing. Jesus' rest isn't passive. It's not an escape from responsibilities. It's not empowerment to live differently. It's empowerment to live differently. He's saying, walk with me, trust my heart, and let me carry the weight. And you'll find joy even there, even now, even in the storm. And maybe that's exactly what you needed today. Maybe you're running at the pace that's crushing you. Maybe you're trying to carry the load that was never yours to carry. And I have a picture on my computer in my office that says, it's a little wagon that I drew. And I have a message out and it says, was I meant to carry this burden? And if I wasn't, I hand it over because I have to have daily reminders everywhere in every room. And Jesus is looking you in the eye with gentleness and humility saying, come to me, let it go, and I'll give you rest. And so here's the invitation. That's the promise. And that's where joy is found. And so I hope this episode inspired you. And in this world of illusions, how can you find joy in your real life? What does this look like in real life? Could it look like if you're a teacher stressed out about testing and students leaving you a kind note, joy shows up. If you're a mom in the garden, weeds everywhere, and your child brings you a flower with sticky fingers, joy shows up. If you're a college student drowning in finals, but you share your faith with a friend, joy shows up. You're at work, deadlines are crushing you, but you pray at lunch, and joy will show up. If you're a student and you're feeling the pressure to fit in and you choose integrity, joy will show up. If you're a parent that is exhausted, but you carve out 5 minutes with your Bible, joy will show up. If you're serving at church in your community and you will feel God's smile, joy will show up. If you're in a small group, tired from the week, and the laughter and the prayer remind you, you're not alone. Joy will show up. Joy doesn't always come with fireworks, but sometimes it comes with a whisper, sticky fingers, and little reminders that God is with you. And so let's put it kind of all together. Presence and panic. God says, I'm with you. Peace with prayer. Hand him your worries and he guards your heart. Provision and despair. God meets your physical and spiritual needs with grace. And rest in Christ. Joy comes whenever you stop chasing and start receiving. And so here's my challenge for you this week. Whenever you're feeling the storm arise, panic, fear, anxiety, don't chase joy in people, purchases, or performance. Pause, breathe, and pray this. Lord, I don't want to chase joy anymore. I want to receive yours. Anchor me in your presence and fill me with your peace. Provide me in the weakness and give me rest in you. And so friends, the storms will come, but joy doesn't run whenever the rain starts. Joy stays because Jesus stays. So thank you so much for listening to us today at Fostering Faith. If this encouraged you, share with a friend who's in a storm right now. And remember that joy in the Lord isn't fragile. It's unshakable. And so until next time, keep fostering your faith. Keep walking in joy that's already yours in Christ. Have a great week. We love you guys.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.